welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today, we're going to be talking about how to move into a space of attracting the things that you want in your life instead of the energy of chasing things. And this is a pretty multifaceted topic. We're going to go into career, relationships, personal development, the whole gamut, because it really applies in so many different areas. But first, we're going to catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then we'll get into that topic. Kara just got back from London, our European queen. How was it?
It was so fun. Shout out to the Brits. You guys rock. We had a great time. It was, like I said, on last week? It was Connor's 30th birthday trip. So Connor's a big football, aka soccer enthusiast. So we did two soccer games and they were so much fun. Our team, now my team, I've adopted football now. I don't know what to say, soccer or football. I guess I'll say soccer because most of our listeners are American, but I'm like, everyone else says football. But now I am interested in soccer. So I am now a fan of the Arsenal. I also bought a jersey. Once you spend $80 on a jersey, I feel like you need to commit to being an actual fan. So I'm an Arsenal fan and they sadly lost. So that was the first game we went to. But the second game we went to was Chelsea. It's also a British London team and they won. So that was really fun. And I had no idea I would enjoy a sport so much, but soccer really is, it's a great sport. It's only 90 minutes. So it's not too long, doesn't drag on too crazy. Then they might add in 3 or 4 minutes after that 90 minutes. They do like added on time. And the fans are great, great energy. They all have different songs and cheers. But I do like how short it was because you go to an MLB game or an NFL game, they are like 4 or 5 hours. It's a whole long thing. So I really did enjoy that part of soccer. And that is why Connor also enjoys it as well. So that was really fun.
Connor plays soccer as a kid?
No, but we were kind of saying that he probably should have. Like, I feel like that would have been a good sport for him. He did basketball. He was a big basketball guy, played in high school, could have played in college, but blew out both his hips, had 2 double hip surgeries by the time he was like 20. So that did not happen. But we were saying that he definitely could have been a soccer player. Funny fact, on one of the stadiums, we had a connection that worked at that football team in that stadium. And before the game, it was a Chelsea game, our connection like walked us around, took us to the players' lounge where all like the wives and the wags and the family kind of sit. And then we went out the players' lounge to like this VIP area. And then we got to go down, which I'll say later is my peak of the week. We got to go on the field. But when we were coming back up from the field, back into like the players' lounge, then to go to our seats, our regular seats, we heard someone say, I'm like, is that a potential player? Like talking about Connor, like, because we came out of the players' lounge. And so they thought our contact was kind of trying to show us around the stadium to like get us to come play at Chelsea, like talking about Connor. And we were all so honored that someone thought that Connor was potentially a player getting transferred. That was definitely an ego trip. We're like, wow, Connor, you're pulling it off. Like your outfit or the height. We don't know what it was. I mean, it was definitely because we were coming out of a player's lounge and also having like a professional security guard and representative from the team with us. But no, we just had a connection. But so long story short, no, Connor did not play soccer. But if our kids, future kids, decide to play soccer, I wouldn't be mad. I'm interested now.
Okay, I have so many things to say back to that. But one, love that was like a birthday gift for Connor. Like
yes.
Sprinkling from the universe, like, hey, not just are we going to let you come to this game, give you a VIP tour, and we're going to have people think that you're a future player.
Exactly.
Two, when I'll get into this, but I was just back in Omaha with Clay's family and his siblings and their kids. And we were also discussing the best sports for our children, our future children to play. And there's a lot of pros and cons because like I love hockey. I think it's the best sport to watch. But to be a hockey parent, oh my God, those practices to get ice time at like 5 o'clock in the morning every day. I'm sorry, I'm not waking up for that. Ooh. Like 7 days a week. No way. And their gear is so expensive and you're traveling like every weekend. I'm like, maybe cross country.
Yeah. Speaking from your past.
Yeah, I think cross country has to be the cheapest, most low-key sport because you get like a pair of cleats, like max once a year. There's no other like uniform or gear requirements, really. All of the meets, you like take a bus. And at least if you're watching, it's like, you know, half an hour, depending on how fast they run. And then it's like, it's over.
Wow.
And there's never like a cost to attend a cross country meet. At least there wasn't when I was in school. or if there is, maybe it's like $5. Like, it's a very, it's all local.
That's a good point. There, we were talking about that, of paying to go to like the basketball games when you're growing up. And Connor's family was talking about this one guy that they used to know that had a different colored wristband in his like wallet. He had one every single colored wristband. So he would just like scout it out and see what color they were rocking and pull it out and put it on his wrist. So he didn't have to pay. My God.
He's like, I'll be there for support, not contributing to the high school fundraiser.
Yeah, which is so funny. I was like, wow, work smarter, not harder. But well, yeah.
I have one more other thing to say at the beginning. You were like, football versus soccer. Mm-hmm. Do you know the comedian Nate Bargatze?
Yes.
I feel like you're into comedians. My dad was showing me the SNL skit where he was like, it was a scene of colonizing America and how he was going to name everything and how nothing like made any sense.
Yeah.
Reminded me of that.
I love that. I've seen that skit. He's George Washington. I don't know any of the other ones, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And we'll call this. I love him. But
and then they're all like, but why? This makes no sense. And he's like, because I said so.
That's really funny.
Meters and football. Sorry. It's very lighthearted. I think he's a family friendly comedian.
Well, I will say, Connor did tell me this, that we call soccer football because of the British, like because of Europe. There's some story of when in the 1900s, they were calling it soccer because they had to rename some organization to be like soccer something. So then we started calling it soccer. But then they changed it to football, but we already had football. So we kept soccer. But like, there's some story where the little reason that we call it soccer is because of them. So it is funny that now we get made fun of for calling it soccer. But it's like, wait, you guys made up this word. I don't know.
Well, I think soccer's fine. But then why did we call American football football? Because that you don't really use your foot. I mean, just to kick a field goal. But I think that's where we went wrong. Should have got a new name.
I agree. Football is the perfect name for soccer. Like, yeah. Truly could not be better. But yeah.
But it was a great trip.
Yes. Otherwise, everything was great. Soccer was definitely the main focus. We also still got to explore, got to have lots of great food and good restaurants. And I know people like to shit on London or England for having bad food, but all the food was truly amazing. And I can link some of our favorite restaurants that we went to in the show notes, but some of the best brunch I ever had. We always did a morning breakfast. We started out and got like a nice sit-down breakfast. One of the best places was called The Buttery, and truly one of the best croissants I've had, best latte, great little breakfast spread. So every single day we had a great breakfast and got to explore, hit up some museums, walked around. And if we were going to change anything, we were there for 6 full days. On the last day, we kind of like ran out of things to do. So we did say if we had replanned it again, maybe the 6th day we would have planned to go to one of the outside towns like Canterbury or Bath. Or done something out in the countryside, which probably needed like a little bit more planning. But yeah, 6 days was great. I think you could do London in a weekend. We kept saying that. Like, you could totally fly to London and come home with a long weekend and feel like you've seen it all.
Do you know what the population is?
We did look this up. I believe it was 8 million. Let me double check.
That's like my thing. Anytime I visit somewhere, immediately I'm on Google like, what is the population? I don't know why, but I like need to know how many people are here.
Okay, 2025. Well, one thing says 8.8 million in 2022, but 2025, it says 9.8 million.
Okay, it's growing. Yeah. I think what always trips me up too, because I'll talk about this next week, but I'm going to Mexico City. Yeah, next week. And I just can't believe how big Mexico City is. It's even bigger than New York City, I'm pretty sure, right? What's, significantly.
What's Mexico City?
Mexico City.
It says New York City is 8.26 million, which I thought it was higher if you include all the boroughs, but let me double check.
Yeah, because there's always the difference between proper and what do they call it, metro. Is massive, but Mexico City proper, 9.2 million. Mexico City metro area, 21.8 million.
That's crazy.
That is huge.
Okay, no, New York City for the entire, all the boroughs is that 8 million. So that's crazy.
Don't you don't picture Mexico City to be like twice the size of New York City?
No, that is crazy. I guess surrounding area. Let me see if they say something, but I guess that wouldn't surprise me. Oh, okay. If you do the surrounding area, New York metropolitan area, 22.4 million.
Okay, so their metro is like basically the same.
Yeah, but then it's like, how big is a circle? Like, is the Mexico City circle smaller? Is the New York one bigger? That's what I want to know.
Well, even in summary, so many people, I am realizing more and more how much my germaphobeness affects my quality of life where I live. And when I see or think about cities now, my mind just goes to the germs. And of course, like, I get this thing on my Facebook feed this morning. It's like talking about how the public urination in big cities is like getting so bad. Like, people are just, there's not a lot of access to public restrooms in these big cities. And so people are just going on the sidewalk, on a building, on an alley. And it's both a problem with locals and tourists in so many places. Like, I was reading the thread that's like, Europe has this problem, the US has this problem, South America has this problem. And I'm like, that is disgusting. Like, can we not fix that?
I know. In Amsterdam, we were there 2 summers ago. They literally just have, it looks like a little gate. It looks like a trash can, like a metal trash can that you open up, but it's literally just a gate that goes up to your waist for like the men to pee in. And you're just like standing there peeing.
Someone commented that. They were like, at least at the bare minimum, Amsterdam has these things. And then people were like, yeah, but the tourists don't know this. And so the tourists are still peeing all over the buildings. And even the girls are like drunk squatting. And
then you step in that and then you're walking that into your house. And when I lived in New York City, it was like a no shoes off, 1,000,000%. And anyone who had an apartment there, you just knew, like, leave your shoes in the hallway. But also, I saw a video, because I feel like this was some discourse a couple years ago, because it's like, why don't you just add more bathrooms? And there's something with like New York City with all the permits and all the construction that you need to do. It costs like $1,000,000 to do like a 2-stall bathroom in a park, which is insane.
Could they even put like a fountain, like for the men, like just like something so that the water is like, you know, getting disinfected and recycled and it's not just going into the grass or on the buildings? It's so gross. And my problem with it, it's not even just like coming into my own house. I love eating at restaurants. I love getting a cute little latte beverage in the middle of the day. And when I see how gross these streets are, Tulum is horrible with this too. There's like dog poop everywhere because there's such a bad homeless dog population here. When the workers then are also stepping that, they're not taking their shoes off to go into the kitchen of these restaurants. And then the boxes, you know, food comes in boxes and crates, and then you put the crate on the ground and you put it on the counter to take things out of a box. And like, all of this is just getting tracked into everywhere. It's disgusting.
And then what made you think of that? Because like, circling back, just traveling.
I was just thinking about it because next week we're going to Mexico City. And when I was younger, even though I was still germophobic, I wasn't as aware of like the tracing of how things happened. Like, I knew I didn't like germs, but I didn't overthink it as much. And now I feel like some of the bliss of travel is like lost, because now I'm like, that's disgusting. And I like can't not let it take away from the experience. Even living in Tulum, like the amount of trash everywhere, as a joke to one of my friends, I kind of started calling it trashy Tulum. And I'm like, I have to stop this because it's not nice. But like, the trash problem is so unsightly visually to my eyes. And then that makes things feel unclean and unsafe. And then I feel like more people just litter because it's like, oh, it's already everywhere. And then the plastics are getting into the water system. It's just all around so bad. I don't know how people can just like chuck things out their window and leave it. But I can rant about that with Clay in my own time. I won't make you guys sit through it.
I know, it's sad because I'm like, what's this? I don't know what the solution is. I guess just education, helping out in whatever way you can.
Okay, well, you know how I said I did the Kids Day volunteering?
Oh, yeah. How
like
was
a week
that?
Or two ago? It was so cute, so wholesome. But we catered like some food for it. Mm-hmm. And it was in a very low income part of town. And so after we gave them like we did a snack and then later we did like a dinner, they were just throwing their trash like over in the corner, right on the ground, like wouldn't walk it over to the trash can. And that's just, I think, when you are that poor, you're not caring about the environment. You're just trying to live day to day. You don't care. And I get that. You know, there's that quote that's like, if I were them, I would too. Like, if that was my upbringing, I would be doing the same. And so I was like, the best thing I can do is just be a good role model in this moment. And if they take notice, great. If not, then I picked up the trash. So I was like going around with this massive trash bag, just with my hand picking up every single thing out there. And there were like probably 8 kids of the maybe 100 and some that were there. that got really into it with me. And they were like running around and then grabbing stuff and like putting it in. And I was like, muchas gracias, like trying to be like so positive encouragement, like thank you more, yes, and show them that that it is a nice thing. Because if no one's ever told them that, like how would they know?
Right. Oh, well, that's a really nice positive story. Okay, well, other updates, anything else that's happened with you in Mexico? I know you went home back to Omaha recently. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I told you guys last week that Clay had an unexpected family emergency, trigger warning. His grandma did end up passing away. And as sad as funerals are, I will say, like, framed as a celebration of life, it was like a really beautiful family gathering. And for her being 90, there were hundreds of people at this funeral. You know, when you go to someone's funeral who's like a teenager or in their early 20s, and it's just like standing room, there's so many people in the buffet line, it's like wrapped around the church hallway out the door. Usually, in my experience, the elderly funerals I've attended, attendance is a little lower because, of course, the people older than them are gone now. A lot of their friends have passed. And it was really inspiring to see, like, even at 90, how many people's lives she was like still a part of and how integrated she was in the community. And since I had just volunteered, it reminded me like how much more I need to volunteer because, well, during the funeral, when people were coming up and taking turns saying stuff, so many people kept referring to her as like a professional volunteer. And I was like, what a nice thing to be remembered as. Like, no one would say that about me right now. Like, not a single person. I volunteered more in childhood. My parents were really good about having us sign up for like Habitat for Humanity, like cleanup days, stuff like that through our church. And then once I went to college, I just feel like I didn't do as much of it. Some through the sorority, we do some when you go to the soup kitchen, you serve dinner and stuff. But I really need to get more involved in that way because it is so rewarding. It's so fulfilling. And I feel like it's such a good ego check and like reality check. That's like, what am I worrying about these frivolous things in my life when these people are just trying to like have their basic needs met? It's really eye opening.
Well, that's beautiful that even at 90 years old, the grandma was, yeah, giving herself in that way and making herself a part of the community by giving.
I know. And we did have lots of good family time during that trip. The last thing I was going to say about the Omaha week, it was so, so much family time because then we also stayed for my mom's birthday. We saw my dad, and Clay and I both just have both of our families in Omaha. So it's like we see my dad, then we see my siblings, and we see my mom, then we see his parents, then his other grandma, his other grandpa, his brothers, their significant others, their kids. It's just like there's always an outing to go to, but we didn't get to do anything with our friends or like our kind of favorite normal Omaha stuff. And Clay hadn't been back since he moved down to Tulum. And I guess I can't speak for Clay, but for me, I'm like homesick for an Omaha trip of like the things I want to do. Because when I went back a month or two ago, it was just to do stuff at the shop. And so I'm like, I want to go and like hang out with my Omaha friends. I want to go to Hitchcock Park. I want to go eat tacos for like 3 hours on a patio. But whenever I go back, it's like for 3 days and my schedule is like boom, 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 boom with whatever I'm like having to go back for. So I don't feel like I ever really get like leisurely Omaha time to do things that I actually used to do when I lived there. And I'm homesick for that. And I don't really know how that's going to ever get fixed because I imagine anytime we go back, it's going to be like, oh, we have to see all these people, check on the shop. But I don't know, pros and cons of like moving away, I guess. I'm grateful to have things to miss. Even the restaurants, I'm like, oh my God, even the restaurants here in Tulum, they're good. But something about being homesick, I'm like, I want the fries from Pitch. I want the tacos from Taco Co. Like, I don't even know if they're, you know, objectively better than what's here. But because I'm homesick, I'm like, I want that park.
Yeah.
I want that yoga class instead.
Well, that just is such a positive thing because if for whatever reason, you maybe end up back in Omaha at some point way down the road, that means you have something so positive to look forward to, or it would just be like not even, you know, it'd be such a great thing to come back to.
True. Distance makes the heart grow fonder, for
1,000%.
But peak of the week?
Yeah. Going back to the London trip, I obviously have to have something from there. And how you said it was very special and cool. My peak of the week was definitely getting on the pitch, which we didn't even realize, but that's like very exclusive to get on the field. And that's why people thought Connor was a player, honestly, because so many people don't really ever get to go on the field. And the next day we went back and did like a normal tour with, you know, the stadium and learned all the history and stuff. And the tour guide kept joking, and by the way, you guys are not going to get to on the pitch. I'm sorry. And we were just like, wow, we're like laughing. So we're like, ha ha ha, we got to go on the pitch yesterday. So that was definitely my peak, because I'm like, that is literally a once in a lifetime. That's probably never going to happen again in my life. They guard the field so insanely. I didn't realize this. So getting to do that was, we really appreciated it. And we're very grateful to our friend that worked there that let us get to do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's so clutch. What a nice friend to follow through with that connection.
So nice. How about you?
Well, we got back on Friday. And this is embarrassing, but I think it's a testament to how exhausting it is when we go back to Omaha. Our flight landed at like 3:30. So by the time I got home, I think it was 5. I took a shower, fell asleep at 6 p.m. I woke up the next day at 10 a.m. I slept for 16 hours straight. You like can't do that unless your body is like beyond exhausted. You know, like there's other times where you're tired, but even if you're trying to sleep in, like your body will wake up at its normal time, or you're like getting stir crazy a little bit. No, I like passed out for 16 hours. So that was a very unproductive Friday evening. And then Saturday, I was still just kind of resting. But the peak is on Sunday. Clay and I did number 3 of our massages at Quinto Elemento. If you've been following the saga, there's 4 different massages, which is confusing because Quinto means 5th. We're like, where's the 5th one? But there's 4 different massage rituals: water, fire, earth, air. And this time we did fire. And like the last 2 times we did them, they were amazing, 10 out of 10. This place has only 5-star reviews for like hundreds of them. But my one teeny complaint, if I was like going to be a brat, is the room was a little bit chilly. And so we told them ahead of time, hey, is there any way you could like make it a little warmer? Oh my God, they went above and beyond with the adjustments. They brought in hot stones. When they were massaging my feet, they put the hot towel on my back, and the oil was hot then. They gave us our towels inside the steam room when we did it. Like, they really tried to make so many modifications to make it warmer. And in the bath at the end, the bath water was like scalding hot. And not only was the experience amazing in general, but it was like so sweet to be like seen and have this business go above and beyond. They weren't like, no, our experience is already perfect. They were like, okay, like we got it. New level. Let's go. And that was amazing of Clay to surprise me with that after a long week. I think we both really needed it. It's so good. Please, guys, like if you come to Tulum, do not leave without this thing.
And do you have a ranking so far of the 3 different elements that you've done?
So the very first time we went, we did air, then we did water, then we did fire. And fire was by far my favorite. The first one we did air, I really liked. It was like rose petals. And then the water was good, but I felt like I just remembered being a little bit chilly. And where this time I'm like, every single aspect was perfect, like no complaints, lock and key. So for that reason, we're also ahead of schedule because we were like, we'll do 1 per quarter. And we're like, uh-oh, it's May. We're like ripping through these.
You're like, we got to move this up. Hey, I say it's all about the self-care. I feel like you need to try the 4th one now. And you just got to finish the series of, you're leaving us hanging. So mm-hmm. I actually feel like you need to do it before the next quarter.
Yeah, next month. Twist our arm.
Okay, let's read our listeners' peaks. Okay, Anna's peak of the week: going no contact with my ex-boyfriend. I'm actually sad, but I know my future self is thanking me. I feel like that one is very aligned with today's topic, and I feel like you're making the right move.
And I won't say her name because she wants to keep this anonymous, but she says, I'm pregnant, can't tell anyone yet, but you two don't know me, so hee hee. Congratulations. It's so exciting. You're going to be an amazing mom, and happy first Mother's Day.
Very similar to London, Max said, heading to Belfast on a research trip. Very nervous, but excited. We'll have the best time. Hopefully you get to have some fun while also working.
And this one's very on brand for already friends. Brooke said, went to a bottomless brunch with my 2 best friends that I hadn't seen in 2 months. I love that. I hope it was so much fun.
As always, send your peaks on our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast. Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere? I know I have, and what I've learned is that a lot of these issues are tied to hormonal imbalances. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, today's sponsor. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking this quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and
it gave me some personalized insights into what might be happening with my hormones and how I can feel better. One of the recommendations I got was taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And it's an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, but it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which is a huge troublemaker that can contribute to weight gain, fatigue, and many other things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It's become such an essential part of many women's daily routines with over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds. The results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight and 77% saw an improved mood, while 100% said they felt like themselves again. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone harmony quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS for 15% off today.
Okay, well, diving into today's topic of attracting and not chasing. And to preface this topic, chasing is rooted in lack, scarcity mindset, over-efforting, trying to force things to happen, whereas attracting is rooted in alignment, confidence, being an energetic match, and allowing things to happen instead of forcing.
Before we get into the different areas of how you can apply attraction in your own life, we want to discuss why this is important. We always think it's good to have the why to the how. So one of the first ones, Kara kind of already touched on it, but chasing comes from a place of lack. I love the quote that's like, if you're chasing, it's already running away from you. And with this lack mindset, I feel like if you're trying to get from point A to point B by chasing something, you're kind of like, I don't have something. And that's why I'm running after this, because I'm trying to prove this worth that you don't currently have. Rather than attraction would be like, no, at the current point I'm already at, I already feel worthy of receiving this, instead of thinking that you need to change in some way to get to that next point.
Mm-hmm. In my head, it's all about being rooted in confidence in who you are. So then things just easily come to you and not, like you said, running after things that are running away from you and fleeing. Chasing can lead to settling. Because if you are lowering your standards to accept something or to run after something that's not meant for you, you're lowering your standards. And that's, again, not keeping the bar where it's supposed to be and not finding things that are the right match for you.
I think the one for me that stands out the most is how exhausting chasing is. When you're trying to prove that worth, I just feel like it's an energetic drain, because you're like, I am not good enough, which then makes you question yourself, which if you're questioning yourself in one area, then I feel like it's such a slippery slope where then you can start feeling in other areas. And then if you're continuing to not get this thing that you're chasing, I feel like it can make your self-esteem continue to go down more and more, which then can make you feel unfulfilled and keeps that exhaustion cycle going, because you're then trying to try even harder to prove yourself even more, which then can lead to burnout and a lot of other negative, sad emotions, because you're giving more than you're receiving from whatever it is that you're trying to obtain.
Absolutely. And another reason that it is important to attract, not chase, is because like attracts like. So the energy that you're putting out into the world, that is going to set the tone for, like what Allison said, what's going to come to you. So if you're having a scarcity mindset, you're going to attract scarcity. And having trust in God or the universe, that is going to attract aligned opportunities, aligned friends, and just things that are meant for you, your higher self.
Now, to paint a picture of what chasing versus attracting looks like in different areas of our lives, maybe because this is the most timeline proximity to me, but when Claire and I were on that break and it was like, oh my gosh, do I have to find a new man to marry? Like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I've never been on a dating app. It was so hard, because I'm like, oh, I'm already 30. I was already with someone for 7 years. And before Clay, I was with the other guy for 3 years. And it was really hard to be in a place of attraction with like a relationship coming, because I am, I think, such a go-getter in other areas of my life that I would try to talk to certain people and it was like shut down, shut down, shut down. Even people that I feel like would show interest in me. When Clay and I were together, I was like, oh, now you're like suddenly not super interested, or you kind of want to be like a fuckboy. Like, this is interesting. But then the guys who I had like no interest in, they would like send me a novel. Like, I would absolutely love the opportunity to take you on a date and like just get to know you and all this stuff. And that's the type of guy that would have like bent over backwards, done all of this stuff for me. But the guys that I was like, oh, I think you're attractive, or like, I want to talk to you, they were like, they were running. And I just saw it painted so clearly when Clay and I were on that break. And it was humbling, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. And with that experience, do you see how kind of going and working on yourself, or just really being aligned with that best version of yourself, how that would have attracted more aligned relationships or people?
Yeah. And it also made me realize, like, sometimes when you're trying to prove to yourself, you forget if you actually even want XYZ desired object, in this case, a person, or later we'll talk about career and friendships. But because you're being rejected in some way, or not even like fully rejected, but like the interest is not being met at the same level, I was like trying to prove myself, or I don't know, just like my mind was more focused on trying to win them over than it actually was on like, do I actually even like this person? Do I actually want this person to be my partner? Because then when I zoomed out and I stopped talking to like these two main individuals that I'm thinking about, I'm like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just thought that they were cool, and they are individually. Like, they really were cool, good guys, but just like the compatibility would never have been there. They would have never given me what I wanted or expected from them. And because I was chasing instead of like letting them come to me more, I wasn't focused on seeing it from that point of view. And then once I just was like, I give up and just started going to the gym, enjoyed my life in Tulum, did my own thing, then things got better. And then Clay was also like, I just want to get back together with you. And I was like, great, same.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, going back to what you said of those feelings of, well, I'm already 30, I'm going to find somebody else to marry. That is definitely the chasing mindset. And this whole conversation, we both know, is about energy. And embodying, attracting is just changing your energy to be magnetic. But that chasing energy was having all those negative beliefs, looking at everything so pessimistically, and not reframing it to the attracting. So just some other examples in relationship. Chasing could be, like I said, thinking that you're running out of time, or that was the last person, that was like the ship's leaving, that was the last person, you have to go run after them. Or texting first, constantly overanalyzing relationships, dates, like you said, trying to prove your worth by winning somebody over instead of asking, wait, do I even like this person? Whereas attracting would be holding your standards, being your full self, being that person that you want to be every single day, and then letting those aligned people come to you.
And one thing I want to touch on for anyone who's still in the dating scene, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, is I felt like with the two individuals I was talking to, if I then did kind of pull back a little bit and try to let them come to me more, then they were like super interested. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, show interest back. And then they're like, no, no, no. And they would want to be chased again. And those type of games are exhausting. They're such like a mind fuck. It's just, it's not if you know, you know. Because when I started dating Clay 7 years ago, we literally went to dinner and I stayed over at his place for 7 nights in a row. And I like called my mom the next morning and I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. It was just way more of like a yes, instead of like having to play games or like, does this person think I'm like doing too much or too little, or like, do they like me? And I don't like stuff like that. And like, tell me if you like me or not, and let's like move on.
Yeah. At the root of that, you guys were energetically matched and both on that same level of life of crushing it. And I feel like if that's a person that you can grow with. And I feel like it was just so clear from the beginning.
Yeah, completely agree. So if you guys are dating, highly recommend not trying so hard with someone, because if they don't see that worth in you now, are they going to see it in 2 weeks? Are they going to see it a month, in 3 months? I really think so often with mating, for a lack of better words, you kind of know immediately, like, do you really like this person or you do not? And sure, in situations like if the world was ending and you had to make it work with this one person, you could probably find some stuff in common and develop a friendship. But most of the time, I feel like when you meet someone, within one day, you're kind of like, I either get good energy from this person, this feels aligned, or you're trying to justify it and talk yourself into it. And if you're trying to justify it, then it's not a match. And if you're giving iffy energy, I had to tell this to one of my friends the other day, because she's like not a fuck girl at all, but she felt like the guys were being fuck boys to her. So then she didn't want to seem too available. And I was like, who cares? So the worst, I was like, if you're too available, then the worst that they think is like, oh, this person's loyal and like isn't talking to someone else and is ready to commit and meet me where I am. I feel like that comes off so much better, not in like a desperate way, not like running after them and trying so hard, but like if they reach out and say, do you want to get lunch? Like you don't have to like lie and make them ask three times. Cause like when we were doing something one night, they asked her to hang out and then she's like, I'm just not going to text them back. And I was like, well, that makes it seem like you're with someone. And she's like, well, maybe I want them to think I'm with someone. And I'm like, I don't think you do though, right? Cause like if you're playing games just because they're playing games and they're going to keep playing games and we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. I know. I will reserve too much advice because I haven't been in the dating sphere in a while. And I feel like so much totally has changed. But if that's one thing I feel like as a society we need to leave behind is the games. Because I was with my friend recently and she was talking to two guys and like couldn't decide which one she really wanted to pursue more because she felt like both were potentially her soulmates. And I'm just like, the one scenario was he was playing games and she was playing games back. And I'm like, okay, I feel like we can cross out this guy. Because your soulmate would not be not responding to you all day and then saying they were working. But then if you're on your computer working, I feel like you can respond to a text. I don't know. But I really like that advice. I think that is good advice of it should feel easy. Well, moving into career, I feel like this is one where I totally can see a chasing versus attracting mindset. A chasing energy with a career could be overworking or working for less than what you're worth, accepting a salary that is way below what you were looking for because the job market's bad or there's just not enough jobs out there and you need to take this one, or saying yes to every project because you're scared if you say no that you're going to get fired or let go. Whereas an attracting mindset would be getting clear on your path, building a personal brand, showing up confidently, letting your values speak for you, maybe setting boundaries at work of things that you do want to do or that things that are out of your role, your specified job role and your responsibilities, and saying very kindly that you're not going to do those certain things.
I know I wish I had more to say on career, but maybe it's because I actually am embodying attracting instead of chasing to the utmost extent, because I think I've only legitimately applied for like one job in my entire life. And it was more like I walked in and I was like, are you hiring? And they were like, yeah, can you start right now? And I like put the shirt on. So I don't even know if you can count that as like a job application, but I just feel like work comes to me and I have believed that my whole life, or I make my own opportunities with like small business stuff, pop-up things, freelance work. But even still, like I started travel advising. And so I like finished all my certifications, the regular certification and the advanced one. And I ran into this girl when I was in Omaha. She came into my shop and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in so long, but I was just thinking of you the other day because she had hired me to be her wedding coordinator, like way back. That was not like some wedding coordination company I had. It just like worked out through the grapevine that I like did that for her. And I was thinking of her because when I was doing the travel advising, I was just like, wow, I've done so many random things in the last decade. And so it was funny that I ran into her and she was like, oh, well, do you have a website for like your travel advising? And I was like, no. And she's like, oh, how are you getting clients? And I'm like, I don't know. They'll just come to me. And it kind of made me realize like if in career stuff, you kind of have to be so naive and so delusional to just assume that money and work is going to come to you. But it really does. Like there's so much money in the world and the amount of companies that exist because of how we have to feed the whole world. There's software, there's healthcare. Like there are so many industries that need so many employees to keep the world turning how it is that I think sometimes we forget because we're shown the economy is so bad, the job hunt is so bad that then we can have this lens of I should just be so grateful for my job. Like I better not say anything because if I lose it, I might not get another one. But I feel like we need to flip the script because there are endless jobs out there, endless jobs.
Even right now, I feel like the common theme is that there's a bad job market and you know, there's not that many jobs out. But I literally heard this morning of one of my friends who was miserable at her job, left and found a way more aligned company at the first company. She was on 40 projects at once, which is just insane. Max, she should have been on 5 or 10, but working on 40 different projects at once, totally just not respecting her time, totally stretched thin. And instead of just staying there and being in a chasing mindset, she attracted a new job, reached out to her network, had done a good job of building a personal brand and posting on LinkedIn and keeping up to date with other people. so that when a different opportunity came, it just came so easily to her. Now she's much more happy in a much more fulfilled role that is way more in line with what she wants to do than this job that was overworking her.
I think a key one for career is raising the bar of what you think is possible for yourself. Because if you have a ceiling of a salary, a location, a certain type of boss, benefits, whatever type of way that you think a job could be, then you're also going to be shown or you're going to be looking for jobs that fit that criteria. But if you can be in an attraction point of view and be like, I would love a job that has all of these things, then that opens so many more doors and opportunities. Because if you limit yourself from the beginning, like then only the opportunities that fit within that can come to you versus being like, I'm open to all of this stuff. What do you got for me?
Yes. And I think with career, always just remembering to document your successes or even just always remembering to try and better yourself by getting more certifications or just always trying to improve and make sure you're kind of communicating those improvements, whether that's something, you know, maybe simple as LinkedIn or updating your network, going to networking, happy hours. I feel like with career, attracting is getting yourself closer to that best version of you, that best career version of you, and being that person of improving, doing better loudly so that other people can kind of see that and then come find you.
And this one goes hand in hand with the next one, friendship. So I'll kind of lump this one together. But I think your social circle can also greatly impact what type of career you even find possible for yourself and then what type of connections you can even have from that. Because if all of your friends work hourly wage jobs for under $15 an hour, that's going to be what's normal to you. And you're going to think it's like amazing if the office has like an office party and you get a couple of free dinners a year and maybe a couple paid days off per year. But if you are surrounded by a bunch of friends who all make above six figures, they have PTO, they have maternity and paternity leave, they have these benefits, they get to fly places, and that will help you both in your social circle and in your career. Because if you can take it as not competing against your friends, and instead of being like, oh, we're all going to be better together, and how can I help you, and you can help me, and do you know this person, and how can I connect you over there, that will go a long way.
Yes. And with finding those new friendships or trying to get closer to other people, chasing versus attracting can be very apparent. Chasing is, I mean, I totally think about the Mel Robbins theory, the Let Them theory, with the friendships aspect of this, because she tells a story in her book about seeing a bunch of her old neighbors that she was really good friends with. They all went on a trip to Mexico. And she's like, wait, I was in this friend group. They went without me. And chasing would be maybe texting all of them, being like, oh, I saw you guys at this trip. Would love to get together. Can I come to the next wine night? Can I be a part of this? And instead, she said, okay, no, let them. I'm going to stay over here. I'm going to set my boundaries. I'm going to let the right people find me. And I'm going to find my own group and not chase after something that just isn't going to work out.
I know those situations are hard because on one hand, it's like, oh, fight for like things you believe in or want to be a part of. But with friends, I feel like there's a reason that the other person wasn't invited. Like they didn't forget. That's not the case. And so the only reason, unless they thought, oh, maybe you're having financial trouble or maybe you just had a baby and we thought you didn't want to come and so we didn't want to put you in that type of position, I feel like there's a middle ground where maybe you could seek some clarity of why you weren't invited. And then if you feel like they're lying to you or there's like no response, then it's like, okay, that no response is a response. And now you have your answer and you let them be. We have a couple episodes on friendship breakups and how to navigate those type of situations, because I do think sometimes there can be misunderstandings where you're like, oh, I thought this or you thought that. And if you didn't have something keeping together, maybe you wouldn't have that hard conversation. But also you don't want to fight for a room that people don't want you in. So I think, I don't know why for me, for some reason, I think friendships is the most dynamic one of these, because two people can just have a very different belief about what happened in a situation. I feel like we've all experienced this. Like you get in an argument and someone is like, I thought this, you thought that. And you're like, whoa, I just wouldn't have guessed that that's how you perceived it. This is not really helping with this topic of chasing versus attracting. But in my own experience and reflecting on this, I think knowing the type of friend you want to be and what you can bring to the table for your friends and how you want to show up for them and if you want to be surrounded by people who travel more or people that love to just go to the library. And do you want outgoing friends? Or do you want more quiet friends? Like, I think it's important to identify the type of people you want to be surrounded with. So that way, when the potential friend comes knocking at the door, you can decide, similar to relationships, like, do I actually like this person and want them in my life? Or am I just happy that someone's like seeing me?
And again, going back to the attracting mindset, once you think about those kind of people that you want to be around, you need to go embody that and just start becoming one of those people. And then those aligned friendships are going to come right to you.
Yeah, because if you want book club friends, go to the library.
Honey, you're going to need to read.
Yeah. If you want to travel more, like, join Facebook groups of people who are traveling. Post your travels on social media. Yeah. Be the type of friend that you want to be in return. I think it's great.
Okay. For money, if you're chasing money, you're going to, again, be acting from scarcity, maybe taking those jobs or doing things that are way below your worth, just out of fear that nothing else is going to come. Gripping tight onto things, whether that's not buying something because you're so scared to let go of that $100, $200, that's going to make your life a lot better, but you're scared that that's not going to get replenished. It's not going to come back. Obsessing over a lack of things that you don't have versus attracting. It's going to be trusting that money is always going to come to you. It's always going to find you. Trusting that you add value to the world. So in return, you're going to get that back in monetary ways. And just detaching from the outcomes of how you're going to get that money, but just trusting and knowing, again, that you provide value to the world so that you're going to get paid in return for that.
I've mentioned it before, but highly, highly recommend the book, audiobook, Love Money, Money Loves You. It is so good. And her beliefs and like the program she teaches about money is stuff that I've never really heard. And it was very refreshing. And it made money seem a little bit more playful and fun, as opposed to, I think, maybe some more of the old school ways, like very principled and save for retirement, like just that very practical mindset. She makes it really fun. So I'll link that in the show notes if you want to listen to it. Something that came to mind as a personal example for money this month, I have one social media partnership, but I feel underpaid for it. But because it's an ongoing one, I keep doing it because I'm like, well, at least it's consistent. Because if you're in the creator world, usually partnerships can be like, oh, maybe it's really good, but then it's like a one-time thing. And the nice thing about this partnership that I had is it was like 2+ years. So even though it wasn't a lot, it was nice. It was consistent. It didn't require that much from me. But in time, there should be more and more requirements. And I'm like, why are we adding more things, but the pay is not changing? And there were multiple times where I was like, okay, we have to be paid more. This is kind of like this starting to take too long. And things are performing well, and there's just like zero incentive. And my manager was just like not open to like changing anything. And so I just like quit it and didn't do anything to fill that other source of income. But then I thought about, what do I already have? And I was like, I need to sell the Omaha Local. Like, I haven't posted on that Instagram or TikTok in well over a year and a half. I am not the Omaha Local anymore. I don't live there anymore. I spent years building up this account. All I need to do is like make a flyer, post it on LinkedIn, and someone will buy it. And I literally sold it this morning for $3,000. Not a ton, but I'm like, okay, great. Like, why did I not do that so long ago? But when you slow down enough and start to think about, I'm like, I don't want to be making these posts every day that take so long when I'm not getting my worth. And then I was able to look at what I did actually have. Kind of like you're cleaning out your closet. If there's just too much stuff in there, you can't even see anything. I felt like I had too much going on. I was like, what do I already have that I can capitalize on? Boom.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations. It's a big, exciting.
Thanks. It was very validating.
Okay, and finally, for self-worth, that chasing energy of not being confident in who you are, that's going to be looking for external validation, tying your worth to things that you accomplish, maybe what you checked off on a to-do list that day, or even people-pleasing, not standing in your beliefs and who you are, versus attracting with your self-worth. That's going to be owning who you are, setting boundaries with friends, yourself, and just radiating inner confidence. And again, that comes from knowing who you are. And you had a really good idea for this.
To look at your human design. If you are a manifester, then you are someone who's supposed to initiate more things. But if you're a generator like myself, you're supposed to wait for things to come to you. And one of the aspects of human design, mine is my throat, and it's how you respond. I will notice if someone's telling me something, I just like vibrate in my throat as I'm kind of listening to what they have to say. And usually they either have a more of a yes answer or more of like a, like, nah, I don't really like that. Because I went to do a human design reading, and as he was telling me things about myself, if I didn't really like what he said, I'd be like, And if he said something I liked, I'd be like, like more positive. And he was like, I can literally, based on how you're like humming your replies, I can tell what you're like on board for versus what you're resisting just by that. And so I share that because you can look at how you respond. And sometimes our brain is a little slower to catch up to things. Sometimes our body answers quickly, you know, like you have this gut instinct and you're like, logically, I don't know why I like this or why I don't like this or why I want to get out of this situation, but my body is telling me it's not a good fit. Or sometimes you're just like, I don't know, I want to do this thing. It feels like a full body yes, and I can't explain it, but I'm overcome with like the joy that this is bringing me. And so with that, I think you can take different cues from your body of whether you open up to something or you close yourself off more to it. And if you're a generator, highly recommend being patient with things and letting people come to you and then using your own body's intelligence to either say yes or no to certain things. Because then the energy of a generator is supposed to propel things forward. Like literally think of like a generator, you know, makes the electricity go. It's like, okay, we got the idea, we got the things, like let's move it forward. And I don't know if everyone believes in human design, but I think it's a pretty powerful tool and could be very applicable in this situation.
Yes, because at the end of the day, when you know who you are and you know the certain characteristics that make up what makes you you, then you can very easily or more easily determine what things you're chasing and what things are going to come to you energetically. So then you're living in a life of attraction and not chasing.
And that can be really, really fun because even this social media partnership that I had that I now quit, when I was manifesting it, I said to Clay multiple times, there's thousands of dollars worth of money in my camera roll. I was like, my pictures are worth so much money. I've like gone to so many places, all these beautiful food photos, all this wellness stuff. I was like, someone should be paying me for these photos. And I was just saying that. And then I like got this partnership that was basically just to post my wellness content of the stuff like I already had. And I was like, see, I knew it. I knew someone was going to pay me for this stuff I already made. And now it's not resonating with me for different reasons, but it resonated with me for like a full 2 years. And I think saying things out loud also can help them be more real, because then it's almost like you believe it even more if you're willing to tell someone that you want something or that you believe in something.
Okay, well, I loved all this. I think that that was really impactful to break it down by category. I hope that resonated with you guys. We did say we kind of just even dipped our pinky toe into how those tools for discovering more of who you are can be helpful to this. We just think that's also so helpful in regular life. So we're thinking in the future, in the next coming weeks, we're going to do a full deep dive episode on finding out who you are and getting to know yourself better. Human design being one of those tools. We're going to talk about all the other different tools that you can use to figure that out. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, because over the last, 5, 8 years of our like self-improvement journey, there have been different tools that really resonated with me at some points and then other tools that I needed for other times. So we're going to review some of our most impactful and favorite self-discovery, quote, how to figure yourself out tools, and maybe they'll resonate with you guys.
And to wrap up, I love the quote that just to remind yourself, if you're trying to embody more of this energy, just tell yourself, I will be good no matter what. I'm going to attract what's meant for me no matter what. And I love that.
Well, as always, thank you for listening to another episode of Arty Friends, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.